is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon, and thanks for being here. Inside Douglas County every weekday, covering lots of different topics. State Senator Dallas Hurd back in. Busy time.
Yeah, very busy.
And a lot of times, you know, I periodically think about all the things that would normally be going on. And from what you do as a legislator, along with the other members of the delegation from the area, I mean, there would be county fairs, there would be city festivals, there would be various appearances, various opportunities to connect with people and show up at events, big and small, and almost none of those are happening this year.
Yeah, almost none. Yeah, it's been a really crazy year. Kind of have to roll with the punches. I've been very discouraged with how we seem to be chasing a moving target. The executive branch here in Oregon with Kate Brown and her administration just continues to change and move the goalposts almost daily. And, you know, some of the stuff I have been seeing coming out of the executive branch and the agencies there, it's just really concerning. Looking back to the situation with Mercy, I've been fully briefed by their folks there about the situation that was reported in the News Review and that the Oregon Health Authority had put out that Mercy was an outbreak zone. And, for the folks that aren't familiar with that story, this just goes to show you how much we can't trust what our government tells us at this point, especially here in the state of Oregon. But I would argue, always question your government, always question your news sources, and try to get as close to the actual source, which, you know, should be closer to the truth than anything. In this case, we had the Oregon Health Authority place 7 individuals on our count of COVID infections based off of one individual who works at Mercy who contracted COVID outside of work in their personal life, inadvertently came to the hospital, found out they had COVID, allegedly at first exposed 6 of their coworkers. I think it was like in the lunchroom or something. Since then, they've done 3 tests. They may have done 4 by now, but they've done 3 tests for all 6 of those other individuals. And they have proven that they are not infected with COVID, flat out. But yet the state of Oregon is going to permanently call all 7 of them, the one who brought it to work and the 6 that allegedly may have had it, thus were exposed to this individual, as confirmed cases, Kyle. They're going to count all 7 of those against our count for our school systems being open. They're going to count all 7 of those and saying that we've got this growing epidemic here, even down in Southern Oregon. Now, think about that, folks. Just in this one case alone, it is confirmed to me by the medical community that was the focus of that story in that situation, that the state gave a 700% inflationary number to the confirmed cases. It's not real. So when you start hearing that kind of stuff and seeing it with your own eyes and hearing it with your own ears straight from the source of where the focus was, it really starts to make you question how much of this is actually real as far as the size and scope of the reach of this thing. And again, then it starts to make you ask how much of this is really political, about stripping us of our fundamental rights, our rights to assemble, our rights to interact with each other, whether in groups or in gatherings at our homes, in public places. Hell, let's look at the Capitol building. We've now had 2 legislative sessions in a row this year now where the people have not been allowed to come into the building. Think about it. You, the people, have not even been provided a framework of an opportunity of how you could possibly wear masks, possibly be 6 feet apart when you're standing or sitting in the Capitol building. I mean, there's so many different options out there that we're seeing both in the public and private sector being enacted to give access to the things we have to do to go about our daily lives. I want to know from the people that support the Democratic Party in this state, what is your argument for why you, the people, Democrat, Republican, non-affiliated, doesn't matter what your party affiliation is, you're the people. What is your argument for why Tina Kotek, Peter Courtney, and Kate Brown should keep you and everyone else like you, no matter who you are in the state of Oregon, out of your own Capitol building and out of your own legislative process as they pass laws that govern your daily lives? What's your argument?
And as you go through the session, what's the dynamics? And I don't know what normal crowd size is. If you backed up a couple years to a previous session, do you have a lot of people there, or does it just kind of depend on the topic of the day?
Yeah, it depends on the committee, Kyle. Depends on the topic within that committee. Depends on, you know, what's happening on the House floor or the Senate floor. I would say at the smallest, you'll see in person in the committees I'm in, the smallest groups you'll see is like 20 folks out in the gallery, if you will, and sometimes as many as several hundred just for one committee. I mean, I've seen days where we had 500 to 1,000 people inside and outside the Capitol building just there to witness the one committee and the topic of that day for that committee. Same with floor sessions. I've seen the public labor unions bring in, oh gosh, seemed like a couple thousand people into the building. I mean, it was packed over, I think it was the minimum wage bill from a few years back when I was still in the House. It was incredible. You know, and then there's been other bills where I've seen other groups, you know, by the hundreds, if not thousands, at the Capitol building. So it's really restrictive. It's very disingenuous. How can you claim to be a party of equality, but you've allowed your governor that represents your party to set herself up as a dictator and a monarch who gets to just at the whim of whatever decision she wants to make from one day to the next, she can just tell us all, supposedly, allegedly, basically, whether we're going to be able to do this, whether we can go to a community of faith, whether we can go to a public park, whether we can come into the Capitol building, whether we can travel in and outside of our own state. I mean, come on. The hypocrisy is more than knee deep at this point. It's becoming suffocating. Stop being hypocrites about this on the radical left and start owning what you do.
And in the last couple of weeks, have you been back up at Salem since the session?
I haven't since the session. I went up there for the one day. It was the most awful experience in a one-day session I've had yet. The majority party has the Democratic-controlled House and Senate has become so abusive, so disingenuous, so dishonest in how they are going about doing things that it's just about all I can do to be up there for just one day, and then I got to leave. I just can't hardly stand it. And I mean, I've spent a lot of time up in that building during sessions and whatnot. Sometimes I'll work, you know, 13 to 15 hours some days. That's just how it is. And there's plenty of people to witness the insanity that is my daily walk in the legislative sessions. But I'm sick and tired of being lied about by elected Democrats. I'm sick and tired of being lied about by people who are the nominees for their party, like on the coast. And we can talk about that later today in today's show. But I'm sick and tired of the lies. I'm sick and tired of people who look like me, who identify with the same values of freedom and liberty, and for that matter, people who don't look anything like me that have the same values of freedom and liberty that I do, constantly being called racist, sexist, bigots of all shapes and sizes. I get to decide who I am. Nobody gets to tell me or the people I love and know in this community or in other communities in this state or this nation who we are. You don't get to tell us who we are. Those of you that are listening on the radical left and who support this insanity at the highest levels of democratic power in this state and in this country, you don't get to decide who I am. You don't tell me that I hate people that I don't hate. You don't tell me that I don't love people that I love. You don't get to do that.
Do you feel like we've reached a point here, and maybe it's nationwide, it's very polarized? Some people from both sides of the aisle say it's the most polarized they've seen since maybe the Vietnam War.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm no hypocrite here. I'm a very public, I'm very public about my distaste for how the president talks about people at times. I understand his frustration because he's mercilessly attacked and gone after, and so is his family and even extended family and friends. I mean, heck, if you support the president financially or with your vote or whatever, the radical left and the Democratic Party just goes after you and tries to destroy your life. So it's understandable sometimes why he reacts the way he does, but I'll be honest, I don't approve of the way he tweets about things. I don't approve of the way he goes after people in what I consider to be a very petulant kind of way. But what makes me sick is how the media and the Democrats, who essentially are the same organization at the national level and even at the big state level of media and politics, they don't talk about how Nancy Pelosi calls the president fat. They don't talk about how she calls him obese. They don't talk about how her and Chuck Schumer call him a racist and all these other things. They don't talk about how nasty and awful and divisive the other side side is, and that's just not helpful. I'm here to tell you, folks, I got a lot of strong feelings about the radical left and the folks that I guess still want to be called, you know, true believers and supporters in the Democratic Party and what it's doing in this nation. I've got a lot of strong opinions about that group, but I'm not going to go around accusing you of being hardcore racist, hardcore sexist, hardcore anti-Christian, anti-Muslim, whatever the heck you are, because I don't know who you are. I can make assumptions, but I don't know who you are for sure. All I care about is what you do, not about what you think, because who am I to say what you think? Enough of this name-calling stuff. I would challenge everybody listening from across the entire spectrum of political thought, cultural thought, to explain to me how it is possible for a group to say they are about peace and love and unity and equality, who constantly comes into a room and screams and yells at everybody else who is different from them, whether it's the way you look, the way you talk, the way you supposedly think, what party you belong to. They're constantly calling all of us bigots. How in the heck can that group, who is the Democratic Party at the national level now, and the media that supports them, claim to be about peace, love, unity, and equality when that's what you constantly do? If this was a family dynamic and we had individuals in the family who constantly came to every family event and said, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a hater, 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 and that's all they ever contributed was hate towards the family, I know that the family being called that would never consider them to be partners in anything good. We would try to keep away from them. We would try to push away from them. And we would hope to not be completely oppressed by them. But that's what's happening right now to the silent majority, is we're being oppressed by this extremely radical, vocal group of people that just hate the country, because that's by their own words they do.
State Senator Dallas Hurd. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1250. Lars Larson coming at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. And on tomorrow's program, as we reported at noon, some of the local members of the Oregon National Guard coming back from Djibouti in the Horn of Africa. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Paul Dyer, who's still in Texas as he makes his way back to Oregon soon from the group. And we'll do that for Inside Douglas County tomorrow. Look at some of the guardsmen who have been serving overseas for the past several months. State Senator Dallas Hurd with us this afternoon. A lot of times when you get into this point of the summer, when you've got an election year coming up, and as a state senator, you're up every 4 years now, but people don't always get into a lot of the active part of the campaign until you get past Labor Day. In the summer, it's a lot of the groundwork, it's getting ready, it's behind the scenes, and some of the community meetings that are not happening for the most part this year. Mm-hmm. So this one is shaping up different for you going into the fall.
Yeah, it's been a weird one, Kyle, to handle, just to kind of, you know, like we said earlier, roll with the punches and just evolve as it comes at you. Two things that I wanted to discuss, kind of hitting on those points, is we're going to be having a Freedom Voters protest rally, is what we're calling it. Remember, Kate Brown fully supports all protesting. She's on the record as supporting the extremely violent and at times just very destructive protests and whatnot that's happening up in Portland, has not attempted to come down on the worst behaviors up there. I want to say that is something I stand in unity with the governor on, or Kate Brown on, is that I support your First Amendment right to assemble and exercise your right to free speech. So I support the rights of the individuals meeting up in Portland who are peacefully protesting, and the majority of them are peaceful, meaning they're not actually burning stuff down, they're not destroying stuff. But I also absolutely support my ability to do the same thing in the community that sees things the same way I do from a freedom and liberty standpoint. So that's why I'm working with a lot of grassroots community members in this region. My cousin Aaron's been one of the most prolific, wonderful people to help me and work on a lot of this kind of stuff. We're putting together, like I said, this Sunday night at Stewart Park, the Freedom Voters Protest Rally, 6 p.m., I want everybody to understand, everybody is welcome to come if you want to hear about freedom and liberty and how we're going to take back that future of freedom and liberty and equality for all people. No hate allowed. If I see signs that have hateful statements on them, I will tell you to leave. This is a public event, but it's private from the standpoint that we are not going to be mislabeled by people who want to come into our group, whether from the left or the radical right, who I don't identify as being conservatives. We're not going to allow you to come in there and have us mislabeled by the media or anything. We're not going to let you destroy what we're trying to do there. We're about freedom. We're about liberty. We're about community. We're about our rights. And so this is not a Second Amendment rally. I want to make that clear. This is not a Second Amendment rally. I will not put up with any kind of open carry, any of that kind of stuff. Please bring masks if you feel that it helps you protect yourself from COVID. But at the same time, I support your right as free men and women to come as you see best fit. Some of you may have medical conditions that make those masks very difficult. I fully support your right to come as you feel led to come. Try to be as respectful of others as you possibly can. This is about love. This is about respect. It doesn't matter to me if you're a Democrat, a Republican, non-affiliated, libertarian, Working Families Party. It doesn't matter. If you want to come talk about freedom and liberty and getting that back, you're welcome. You are welcome to come. But no hate, no messing around. You will be asked to leave. And then if you don't leave, we'll have to go the next step. So the next thing is going to be on this fall's campaign season that we're getting into now. It's time to have some debates. I offered up to my Democratic opponent from the Senate race here several months back the opportunity to engage in multiple debates with me on the coast and over here on this side of the mountain in Senate District 1 on the I-5 corridor. I have not heard any communications from her. So I'm calling for at least one debate here in the Roseburg-Douglas County area, and then at least one debate over on the coast, probably either Gold Beach or Port Orford or someplace like that. Representative Brock Smith and I were talking on the phone earlier. We're both in full support of that. We're talking about having an outdoor type debate. By all means, practice social distancing, wear masks, come if you want, don't come if you don't want to. We'll have it on Zoom and things like that, Facebook Live and whatnot, so everybody can get full access. But I want to have in person, and I want to support the people that don't have the best access to, you know, internet or social media or what have you, to have that opportunity to see us live and in person with our opponents. And let's show what the contrast is between what the Democratic Party's elected folks are bringing and what the freedom libertarian style, you know, freedom and liberty type folks like Brock Smith and myself are bringing. So that's it. You know, I'm not pulling any punches anymore. My opponent has said some truly hateful, awful, untrue things about me publicly. She's even brought my family, even my own grandmother who passed away back in May, into this equation. Some truly despicable things. And I am not going to be silent about this stuff anymore. The time for being polite with people who have so much hate in their heart has passed. I'm not going to return it with hate, though. I'll tell you that. I can be frustrated. I can be angry about the horrible things that are done to me and said about me without being hateful. And don't you dare try to mislabel me again out there. The same goes for Representative Brock Smith and Representative Gary Leaf. All three of us have recently been called publicly by the Democratic nominee on the coast in House District 1, as well as some of the major supporters of my opponent here in Senate District 1. We have been called white supremacists and racist folks. There is no truth to any of that. I am not going to sit here and explain why there's no truth to it. It's just the way it is, and I don't need to explain myself. There is no evidence at all for any of the three of us that we are those types of people, and I cannot believe how low you have to sink to say things like that about your opponent just because you're so lustful for power that you want this position. It just makes you completely unfit for the job.
And about 30 seconds left. Do you have any timeline as to when you want to do these debates in the fall?
Yeah, I'm thinking late September, first week of October. But I mean, I'm ready to go. Trust me, I'm ready to go have this conversation with my opponent any day of the week if they have the courage to actually come have it.
All right, State Senator Dallas Hurd with us. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listen. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.